There was, to be sure, one city hole not far from here, and though not all the mice knew of it, Jared did. Its tunnel ran in a line all the way from the commons of Tirinor to the edge of the dark forest, near where Jared had first spotted the rats. But Jared could not use it. For that hole was one of the ancient defenses of Tirinor, to be used only as an escape route in the event of dire need. It was an escape route from the city, not into it. And Jared would rather have died than reveal that secret to the rats. So he ignored the half-buried crevice in the bottle-shaped limestone that marked the hole, and instead ran through the dark forest, farther from safety, farther from home. Rats have an excellent sense of smell. Scritch and Clog followed Jared's trail all the way to the fallen log, and soon afterwards deduced that Jared had hidden himself underneath. Had they been in a hurry, they might have left him alone by that time, but rats, as a general rule, cannot resist chasing and hurting something that has turned its back and run from them. Jared, from his position underneath the log, at first saw only the fat legs and dirty paws of both rats. But then Scritch lowered his head to the ground and peered into the darkness with one eye.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but don't have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I dole out all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't brag, is not proud, doesn't behave itself inappropriately, doesn't seek its own way, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. The greatest of these is love.
Occasionally in her travels through her children's minds, Mrs. Darling found things she could not understand, and of these quite the most perplexing was the word Peter. She knew of no Peter, and yet he was here and there in John and Michael's minds, while Wendy's began to be scrawled all over with him. The name stood out in bolder letters than any of the other words, and as Mrs. Darling gazed, she felt that it had an oddly cocky appearance. "Yes, he is rather cocky," Wendy admitted with regret. Her mother had been questioning her. "But who is he, my pet? He is Peter Pan, you know, mother." At first, Mrs. Darling did not know. But after thinking back into her childhood, she just remembered a Peter Pan who was said to live with the fairies. There were odd stories about him, as that when children died he went part of the way with them, so that they should not be frightened. She had believed in him at the time, but now that she was married and full of sense, she quite doubted whether there was any such person. Besides, she said to Wendy, he would be grown up by this time. "Oh, no, he isn't grown up," Wendy assured her confidently. "He is just my size." She meant that he was her size in both mind and body. She didn't know how she knew, she just knew it. Mrs. Darling consulted Mr. Darling, but he smiled pooh-pooh. "Mark my words," he said, "it is some nonsense Nana has been putting into their heads, just the sort of idea a dog would have. Leave it alone, and it will blow over." But it would not blow over, and soon the troublesome boy gave Mrs. Darling quite a shock.